The views and opinions that are expressed on the Dope Sessions podcast are that of the hosts and do not reflect any views of any other attached entities. Now that we got that out of the way, let's go. Introducing your hosts. The guys on the mics with the voices that you like. Give it up for Kelvy and Tree.
Ain't nobody as dope as we.
Good, everybody, man. Thank y'all again for tuning in to one of the dopest indie podcasts on the planet. Man, of course, this is the Dope Sessions podcast with Kelvy and Tree. Yo, Tree, what up, big dog?
I'm here so I won't get canceled.
Or fine. So.
Or fine, right.
Oh, man. What's good with you, bro?
Oh, not much. You know what it is. Work, bills, play. Damn, wait, did I say play? I don't remember last time I did that. I need to figure that out.
No, man, I feel that, man. Sometimes you got to get back into that play of things, man. You feel? I understand, man.
Yeah, you know, I got to, you know, break out the shoes with the goldfish in them. And, you know, that one fedora with the feather on the side. And that cane with the polished tip. Yeah.
Walking these streets.
That's right.
Man, let me ask you, man. I want to ask this real quick. Do you ever remember when Diddy took over the show, Making the Band?
You know what? I really wasn't big on reality shows because they're fake. I mean, there's nothing else to it.
Yeah. Yes, it's a heightened fake reality. Yeah, no, I understand that. So, okay, so Making a Band started off as this show where it was just like the guy who kind of created NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys and all of that stuff, like, created this group called O-Town. And they had like a couple of seasons, and then O-Town broke up. That show kind of went away. And then years later, they gave it to Diddy, and then Diddy started doing his own version of Making a Band. So he created three bands within this show, right? One of them was called Da Band, right? Okay. So Da Band was like a hip hop group with like one girl that was like a singer. So I bring this up because one of the members of the group, right, of the band was named Dylon Dillinger. And if that name sounds familiar, all you got to do is check out Chappelle's show where he makes fun of that show, Making a Band, where he plays Dylon, where Dave Chappelle says, "Who is the top five MCs? Dylon. Dylon, because I spit hot fire," right?
Right. I think I saw that clip.
Right. So Dylon actually spoke about this. I mean, this is years later. Like, this.
Wait,
like,
I saw this video. Spoke or not cried? Because I saw that too.
Huh?
You sure he was speaking about it or not crying about it? Because it sounded to me like he was crying about it.
Yeah, he was definitely crying about it. Like, so I guess my question is, should we feel sorry for what happened to this dude's career, or should he have done something to combat what happened?
Okay. I'm going to say that we should feel sorry for what happened only and only if Dave Chappelle is beyond a shadow of a doubt, responsible for the demise of his career.
Right.
I mean, so I've seen a bunch of people, you know, a bunch of comedians make fun of, you know, other people all over the place, and their career didn't tank.
Mm. But now, if you saw the interview, he did say, because of that sketch, anytime he went to go ask somebody to play his music or try to get stuff on the radio, they were just like, "Oh, you the Dylon dude, you spit hot fire. No, we ain't gonna play it." So I think that. So basically, I want to say he's blaming Chappelle for that particular thing. Like, you stunted my career. Because he's basically saying, at the time when all of this happened, I was a kid. And you the one who said all of that stuff. I never said this stuff on the show. You're saying it in this sketch. And now it's this sketch. Because of this sketch, it basically kind of killed my career.
Here's the wild part about that. So you're blaming him, but there's no real proof that, you know, that's what happened. That's one. The other thing is, with so many different platforms out here on this planet, you mean to tell me that you couldn't, I don't know, post it on YouTube or something and let somebody discover you and realize, hey, look, he can actually do something?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Because although I will say there's a part of me that gets his frustration, right? But then there's another part of me that just says, hey man, wait a minute. I can't even remember when Making the Band came out with that actual the band group. Like I said, I think it was early 2000, like 2002, right? That's when that show aired, right? With that particular group, the band. So, and then you also got to think, it within that time, that's when the blog era of hip hop music was like starting to like generate. Because the blog era is from like the 2000s to like early 2010. So while the band was completely over, I want to say at least by the second or third season, you had that whole era of that blog era that you could have traveled into to push some material out there on your own. Because that was the one thing about the blog era that people tend to forget. It had nothing to do with the labels. It was just people. You were finding music on your own, especially if you was on the technology and on the message boards. You were finding music on your own. Why not take that step?
Yeah, I mean, right now you sound like you doing the straight cop out. Not to mention, you figure what? I saw this clip a couple days ago of him complaining or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure Chappelle's skit jumped off in what, 2010s, maybe?
No, it was within that time frame.
What time frame?
Within that time frame of like 2002, maybe 2003-ish, because it was like literally like that part of Making the Band with that group was like the highlight. So it was probably within that time span.
So basically, we crying about something that happened 20 years ago. So what were you doing before then? I mean, what was you doing, you know, before you started wanting to make this clip and rant about it? It's like, bruh, it's 20 years.
Right.
At this point, the statute of limitation is up.
Right.
You can't blame nobody.
Right. Now, if you didn't do anything, maybe you did. Maybe, because like you said, you went to DJs and all this other stuff. But here's the thing, because people have seen that, yeah, I'm pretty sure they probably turned you down because of that, right? I'm not saying that he's 100% wrong now. I'm pretty sure they probably did turn on them and say, nah, I ain't messing with that. Okay, so what's the next step? What's the next step after that? You got to make people.
I'm going to say this again. Sort of kind of because I mentioned the technology before, but now I'm going to actually say it. Justin Bieber got discovered on YouTube. What's your problem?
Right. And not just YouTube was a tool, but also you got, let me hit up these message boards that's popping, like OK Player and all this other stuff. Let me hit up these message boards to like see what the fuck, you know, I could garner a new audience. Do you know half of the motherfuckers that came from the blog era?
Or, I mean, so I'm about to dust something off.
Mm-hmm.
You could have put something on your MySpace, because MySpace is converted from being a social media page to just solely about music now. You could have put it on MySpace. You could do what most people do now. Push it on Facebook and actually upload the music or what have you to Spotify. I mean, come on, you can Instagram. All of that's there for you at your disposal. So, if you really haven't done anything in 20 years and you're not complaining about this, yeah, I'm gonna need you to have several seats.
Right. Not definitely.
On the flip side, if he affected you that bad, then first up, welcome to the current technology, because you just discovered a platform to cry about it on. But now that you got the tech and you know how to use it, do something about it.
Right. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't tell your story and you shouldn't tell how you feel about it and how people did what they did. You should absolutely tell that. But also,
I agree.
But also, what are we doing other than the story?
Right.
What are we doing?
I can tell you what it looked like to me when I saw that clip. It looked like he was crying. Mm-hmm. That's what it looked like.
Mm.
Those were the optics.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. Because to most people, it probably did look that way. Like you said, it probably looked that way of him crying. But again, it's like, hey, man, like, what are we doing? Like, if you really want this, dog, there's multiple ways. And again, like I said, the making the band stuff started in 2002 with Diddy's rendition of it.
Mm-hmm.
The blog era started in the early 2000s. So when Puffy decided that, because I remember this, I remember this part of the show. I want to say they had either two or three seasons with the band, right? With that, okay. With the first group, right? They were working on a second album, but I don't know if something happened and they couldn't gel together, and it was some crazy stuff. And then Diddy was basically like, everything's gonna be done. I'm kind of over it, blah blah blah. He shut it down. So he basically broke up the group.
And hear me out for this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the group went to one of Diddy's parties and was like, I'm out.
Right. And you know Diddy liked the party, and you gotta tell him no. Even if you're signed to him, you gotta tell him no. Like, but no, it's to me, you're in that time frame once everything is starting to work. And again, I tell people all the time, look up the names. When you're looking up the blog era, do me a favor, Tree. Look up the artists that came out of the blog era. And I guarantee you, a lot of those names, you're going to be like, yo. Because you could have been one of them names, dog. Definitely could have been one of those names. And again, I don't know his whole story, so I don't know if he tried to do that, or maybe he was just suffering because everybody was telling him no, no, no because of the Chappelle sketch. But Hey, man, fuck what they think. Sometimes you got to step out on your own and get shit popping, grow your fucking fan base, and that way the motherfucking DJs and the radio motherfuckers ain't got no choice but to play your shit because they're hearing it all the time.
According to him, good luck, buddy, because he basically got railroaded by Dave Chappelle.
Right.
Okay, here's a partial list. I got J Electronica, J. Cole, Schoolboy Q, Drake, Wiz Khalifa, Kid Cudi, Kid Ink, A$AP Rocky, Mac Miller, Kendrick Lamar, Trinidad James, not related to LeBron James, Wale, B.O.B., Big Sean.
That's a lot of household names on that list, ain't it?
Yep.
And these are motherfuckers that did it just putting out their own shit before they got signed or before they started getting deals, right?
Not pictured. Dylon.
Right. I'm just saying, hey, man, all I'm saying is, and these people, because I've had that conversation with Harley. Shout out to Harley Hustle, because we did an episode the podcast of the Dope Sessions Pod that's called the Blog Era is the Vlog Era. So we even talked about that. It was a lot of people. It was a lot of people. Those names, because they were different, probably wasn't going to get played on the radio. That era is when the people took over and said, no, y'all should be listening to this person. You should be listening to that. And all I'm saying is, Dylon, where were you at when all of this stuff was popping? Where were you at, though?
Washing his tights.
And complaining about ain't no DJs playing. Here's the thing. DJs ain't gonna play shit unless they know it's fucking hot. You gotta make it hot so they can play it. That's all I'm saying.
Get some of that some of the Tabasco sauce. Do something.
Right.
Get you some sriracha.
Right. And speaking of getting ways to get into the industry, Risa Tisa.
#hotmess.
Can we have a real honest discussion about Risa Tisa?
Okay.
For those who've probably been
on the cliff notes, but okay.
Right. So for those who've been living under a rock lately, there's this new sensation that has come out of nowhere. It's a woman by the name of Risa Tisa who did a 50-part series on Facebook.
I thought it was TikTok.
I think it was TikTok as well. It might have been both. But I want to say TikTok was the one that kicked it off. And then it just traveled everywhere else. Who the fuck did I marry? Right?
Yeah.
The name of the series. 50-part series that she's talking about. Meeting this guy. You know, they get married during the pandemic and all this other stuff. She starts discovering these red flags about the man she married. Here's my thing. You didn't discover these red flags when y'all were just talking?
Okay, you know what? It's easy for us to be armchair quarterbacks and say something like that, but you gotta understand, not everybody's built the same. And in her case, she even admitted it to Robin Roberts in an interview that she saw the flags and chose to ignore them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's strike one. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all probably not gonna like what I'm gonna say. And even if you don't like it, who cares? She's doing a thing.
Right.
Strike one. You notice the flags, but you ignore them. Strike one.
Well, it was, from what I understand, it wasn't like a just logical ignorance. It was more like an emotional ignorance. You know, like, yeah, but it was bad, but
ignorance, no matter what kind it is, it's still ignorance.
Yeah.
And granted, I understand. All I'm saying is, I see all these videos, not like whole videos, but like clips of videos of women talking about how this, men is this, men that, men this, men that, this is wrong with men. You got to watch these red flags out here. As soon as you see a red flag, just don't even bother, blah, 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 blah. You clearly saw the red flags and you didn't do anything. That's why I'm calling strike one on that.
Okay.
Because again, we can say it's emotional ignorance. It's this kind of ignorance, but ignorance is ignorance. Like, so if I found out that a girl that I liked, like, killed somebody for no reason, just shot a nigga in the head, am I going to be like, am I still, I mean, she's fine as fuck. Might as well, I don't give a fuck, you know? Or am I going to say, let's take a pause real quick. You did what now?
Right. I'm definitely hoping you chose option two. But, I mean, from what she said, you know, in the beginning, the red flags that she saw wasn't on that level.
So what are the red flags? So I guess I'm trying to figure out, are there certain red flags that you are just willing to ignore?
You know what? I think they are
both, or
people are willing to ignore, depending on the severity of the so-called red flags. Sometimes these, what other people may think are red flags, may actually be yellow flags.
What's the red flag that you would ignore on a girl?
That I would ignore?
Yeah. If you noticed that this girl had a red flag, but you still, you're like, I mean, you know, I'm still gonna try to get with this girl. Like, what?
Well, honestly, this is more like, I want to say this one's probably a red flag for some people, and not most, but. I don't smoke, so I'm not big on people that smoke. But I had a girlfriend that smoked. So I treated that as a yellow flag and not a red one.
So why? And I'm just curious. Why did you treat that more as a yellow flag?
Because she respected my boundary on that, and she didn't smoke around me. Or if she did smoke around me, she smoked around me in open air.
Okay, so I get that.
You know, it wasn't uncomfortable when I was with her when she was smoking. So yeah, because believe me, if it got serious, then yeah, I would have said something.
Right. And was this like a they smoke all the time, or was it just like a once in a while they smoked?
They smoked all the time.
Okay,
but it wasn't. It wasn't like, you know, three packs a day or nothing like that. It was more like, okay, I'll smoke when I get off work if I feel like smoking when I get off work.
Right. Okay. I will agree with you on that. That will probably be like a yellow flag instead of a red flag.
Right.
Because at least, you know, she respected your boundaries. There's a lot of motherfuckers that won't even do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But so.
Red flag, you know what? To answer your question, because I kind of skated on it a little bit, I don't think I have any red flags that I would treat as a yellow flag. Because they're red for a reason. So
right.
I'm just like, and that's definitely me, because some other people be like, oh, well, you know what? Before it was like this, but now it's not so bad. You know, like you said before, she fine. I'm just going, no, I'm not that
right. Right. No, and
how pretty you are. If I see a red flag, it's going down.
Right. And here's the thing, but there's a lot of people, men and women, who will see a red flag and like, I mean, I still want to be with that person.
Yeah, and at that point, it depends on how much you love them.
Right. Now that's definitely true. So this 50-part series, right, is super popular. Now she's on like talk shows, and you know she's signed a deal with an agency, so she's probably gonna do some stuff with that. I think.
Hold on. So,
mm-hmm.
We signed with an agency. You would figure you just did the 50-part series, and that was based on your experience. Why we signed with the agency to do what? You did what you did. There is no other story left that I'm aware of. And then if there is another story similar to this, then that makes me question, you know, mainly your mental faculties and your judgment as a whole. Because if something like this happened to you more than once, it's like, what are we doing, bruh?
So I think this is what's going to happen. Because the way she told the story, I mean, she stretched that story out to 50 parts, bro.
Yeah.
So obviously, she's a good storyteller. And as long as you can tell a story, it don't necessarily have to be yours. You can create something else. What I honestly think is that she's probably going to write a full-on like script about this situation. And so, it's either going to be a television show or is it going to be a movie?
Who the fuck did I marry movie?
Mm-hmm. Or a television show. And then, you know, she'll probably get a chance to create more stuff.
So here's the part where I get my shoestring out and I start tying stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
If this lady can do this, what the hell is wrong with you, Dylan?
Well, no, that's actually a good question. Also, we just like mess, so
a whole segment of this country that just love drama. So yeah,
right. No, it really is. It's we all love mess, especially like I think we've always loved mess, and I could be wrong in this part as well, but I think we especially started to really love the mess, especially during the pandemic, right?
All right, so.
Because we had nothing to do, so.
Wait, because I'm individualized and I'm specialized, there's only two types of mess that I like.
Mm-hmm.
The Three Stooges? And the WWE.
Right.
All the rest of that is a problem. Like cops, right. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We should have never glamorized that, but we did. And I think it's amazing that cops was popular at the same time fuck the police was popular.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So basically our society, it was like, fuck the police when they come to me, but I'm gonna watch them whoop your ass, take you to jail. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we love mess, and I'm not saying this huge stuff about mess. This huge stuff about us loving mess is a tale as old as time. It's like, especially to me, I feel like especially during the pandemic, we just started. Like, the mess has got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And
since you say the beginning of time, I'm pretty sure the citizens of Troy just loved when that Trojan horse went in there and laid them boys out.
Mm-hmm.
And probably got their popcorn like, oh, man, it came out the horse and everything. Bam!
Everybody, man, we all a mess. And again, I don't. Here's the thing that I think, and it does it. What she did doesn't really bother me. It's just it's the way of the times right now. I think that you know, the whole. I don't know if you heard seen this, but she. I want to say she was on Tamron Hall,
mm-hmm.
and she talked about how a well-known person kind of talked about her. Or talked about her weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, for those that do know, she was basically talking about Charlamagne the God. But really? Charlamagne didn't talk about her weight. He just said, because he didn't watch the series, he don't know what the woman looked like. He just said that she had. She was exhibiting big back energy.
He ain't lying though.
But, I don't think he was lying either.
Yeah.
I he wasn't lying. The thing about it, I know a lot of people got upset. She was hurt by it. A lot of people was Charlamagne should apologize. Here's the thing. Risa Tisa, should Risa Tisa be treated like a human being? Absolutely. Yes. Whether you don't like her or you don't like her, she should be treated as a human being. Absolutely. But we are dealing with the internet, and a lot of times the internet does not care about how good you look, how ugly you are. If they find something that they don't like, they were going to talk about it. And also, I could be wrong in saying this too, but when you put yourself out there like that, you are giving people open range to say whatever they want.
Okay, so first up, let's bring this back. First up, the Constitution gave people open range to say whatever they wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were laws that came later that would hold you accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, it's like in this day and age, I am so sick of one, you got the internet just firing away at you. And on the flip side, you got these same people on the internet, you know, in these groups and organizations that want to cancel you for saying something or... you know, basically get you fired from your job and everything because you done said something or label you something that you're totally not. It's like, all right, pick a struggle. What we doing? Yeah, okay, Charlamagne said that. So what? Now you're going to have this group trying to cancel him because he said it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you're going to have a group that's, wants to cancel him for saying it. You got a group that's basically like, he should apologize for right. it, which he did the next day. He did apologize.
You probably have a group that wanted to like just get his money for saying it.
Right. Now I will say this. Was it the best apology? No. I mean I guess it just depends on what you feel is a good apology. But also again, when you put yourself out there. And especially if you're, because here's the thing, this woman did a 50-part series. She is telling a story. And telling stories as an art form. All of that is going to be judged, the story, how somebody's going to say the same thing that I said and probably 10 times worse. If you've seen these red flags, why the fuck did you ignore them? So, yeah, maybe you did exhibit big back energy. Maybe you did. I'm not judging. All I'm saying is when you put yourself out there, this is the stuff you're going to get, the good, the bad, and the extremely fucking ugly.
Okay, now hold on now. Her story had nothing to do with big back energy.
No, her story didn't, but when they were talking about it on the Breakfast Club, Charlamagne was like, it comes off as big back energy.
Okay, so see, now we need to define that because Is it just her crying? Does he mean about her telling the story in general, or is he really talking about a weight? Since we gotta see, we need to clarify this now.
Okay, so according to Charlamagne, once he made that statement, he didn't see the girl's stories. He didn't know what she looked like. He was just listening to what Jess Hilarious was telling him, and he was like, this sounds like Big, but this exhibits Big Bang energy.
Okay, so
and his stance
basically
was
Jess Hilarious went there and he just like got on the bus and hit the gas.
Jess Hilarious was basically was recapping all of the story and stuff like that. Because now Risa Tisa is popular.
Yeah.
And as she's recapping the story, Charlamagne says it's starting to exhibit Big Back energy. And then he said, and even if he's exhibiting Big Back energy, he was saying there are men that would want somebody like you. So if you know that there are men out there that would actually want to be with somebody like you, why are you going through this stuff?
Okay, so basically we just cleared the fact that he definitely called her fat in so many words or less. So now that we got that out the way.
I would say that's what I took it. If it's big back energy, it got something to do with you being fat. Even if, because they did mention the Jill Scott character from Why Did I Get Married? Yeah. So yes, basically.
So it's like, okay, yeah, you know, people gonna say what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And people have feelings. She went on there and expressed her feelings, and okay, mm-hmm. But now that that's over, I mean, are you happy with yourself, or are you gonna be happy with yourself and change what's going on?
Right.
Other than that, you basically just said that just to get your feelings out and move on.
I'm basically under the belief of yes. Everybody has feelings, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to be treated just like you would want to be treated. That's not always the case. So sometimes, and I'm saying from my personal experience, because I've gone to comedy shows and got talked about because of my weight. Sometimes you just have to have a thick fucking skin.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because we all know that people living in this day and age, soft. That's the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait. And not S-O-F-T. No, S-A-W-F-T.
Swoft.
Swoft. Right.
Swoft.
I need y'all to understand that.
I just want people to understand that I agree with you. You shouldn't have to be called those things. But unfortunately, you're going to be called those things.
Yeah.
Nobody should feel or be disrespected. But when you put yourself out there in a space like this, this is going to happen. So what are you going to do? Are you going to falter because it happens? Or are you going to have the thick skin that you need so you can keep moving forward to get to where you want to get to?
Take notes, Dylon. Take notes. We tell you, suck it up. Rub some dirt on it.
Right.
Man up.
But shout out to Risa Tisa, because if this was the plan, you executed that plan like a motherfucker.
And first up, honestly, given that situation, I'm pretty sure it's like very humiliating. It takes a lot of guts to do what she did.
Mm-hmm. Because even though you're telling the story because you want people to not go through what you went through, also, you got to think about the guy in this situation. because the story about him. Yeah, no, she's not.
Good riddance.
But because the story got popular, because as she's telling the story, she's not saying the guy's real name, right? She's calling him something else, but she's not using his real name. But people found out who he was.
Really?
Yes, people found out who he was. So now, because of it, just knowing how the justice system is and all that stuff, he could have a case to be like, hey, man, like this woman told this story, blah, 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 all this other stuff. You know, she's basically defiled my name, all this other stuff. Even though she didn't say my name, she's clearly talking about me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if what you're saying is true, that this guy has mental issues, right? You don't think that's going to that's not going to mess with him more mentally?
The only mental issue that I heard was mentioned was that he was a pathological liar and a narcissist. Anything else after that, I don't know what to tell you.
Because if I'm not mistaken, I remember them saying something about he had mental issues. Or maybe that was somebody in his family that said that. Because, again, now he got people in his family, you know, saying that what this woman is saying is basically true, you know. So I don't know for certain, but let's just say he has it, right? So now this woman is telling this story that he probably like, all this shit she's saying is wrong. She's defying my name and all that. Now I got my own family members, some of them saying like, hey, what you saying is true, and you know, you should tell your story. Now I got family against me. So if he has mental issues, now we gotta ask, like, is this either furthering messing with his mental, with his mental stuff? It's like,
okay, so let me do this. So first up, he did the dummy by taking the social media, trying to defend himself. That's how they found out who he was.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what Reggie used to say to us? And shout out to Reggie McKeever, by the way. He used to say that line, which I come to figure out it's an older line, but he said, if I throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that bark is the one you hit.
Mm-hmm.
See, all he really had to do is keep his mouth shut and going about his business. Then it would have just been left at her story. But because he came out and, you know, starting to defend himself, even though she wasn't using his name, now everybody knows who he is. And mm-hmm. Yeah, people are taking sides. That's gonna happen.
Right. Yeah.
As far as backing up his mental faculties, he was already there. Because
pathological
liar is a mental condition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think being a narcissist is so much a mental condition as it is just, you know, people's personality is just fucked up. But mm-hmm. yeah, and according to her, he's a master and a serial scammer. So he doing all of this. Yeah, you need to be exposed. But see, because she didn't mention your name or anything like that, you was on the low until now. And if you really want to, you know, put it out there, now that he's come out and everybody know who he is, I wouldn't be surprised if law enforcement takes up what's going on and start hitting him with some stuff.
Mm. And that quite possibly could happen. And I'm not sticking up for this dude, because if this dude is really like what she says he is, hey dog, like, you probably should just stay away from people and get your shit together. Get your shit together.
I'm still saying he should have stayed under that rock while the living was good. Because now the same people on social media that came after her, even though she got people that like her, the same people that come after her coming after him.
Mm-hmm. Because, again, it's all about. So, me and D Nick had this saying called "Everything's a campaign," right? Right. So, me and D Nick always say, everything's a campaign. She's winning the campaign. So, yeah, dude, you look like a fucking goofy trying to, like, you know what I'm saying? Put your hat in the race, thinking that you're going to sway everybody after everybody and sat there and watched 50 parts of a fucking video, bro.
Like, right.
And see, I'm pretty sure every one of those parts had to be 10 minutes.
And up until the point where you decided to come out on social media, the only people that knew were your family and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them weren't going to say nothing because they didn't give a damn.
Right. And so you put yourself out there. Yeah, I'm the dude she talking about. So now you got some of your family members saying,
"Where's my sound? Yeah, they need Bill Duke right about now."
Right.
Like, it's like, fucked up.
Right.
I need that right now.
You fucked up.
Yeah.
And if you really did care about your mental issues, stay out of the father, dog. Because right. It's only going to get worse. And sure, you might have people that might actually believe you. But this woman told a 50-part series about you, dog.
Yeah.
Dog, just go away, chill out, get your shit together, find God, you know.
Speaking of God, Ty Tribbett.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, man.
Can we put him in the What's Up With Your Boy segment? Because.
Ooh. Man. I think we would have to, man.
Here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
You're lying.
He ain't. So I've had plenty of conversations about this specific topic, right?
And let's go ahead and explain it for everybody that wasn't paying attention.
Right. Go ahead. My bad.
All right. So Ty Tribbett went on the Breakfast Club and mm-hmm. he had a conversation and then it went the other way. He gave a passionate talk about how he feels about the institution. The church is whack. That's what he said. Church is whack.
Mm-hmm. And the institution is whack.
By saying he's frustrated how the church has gotten backwards and the church should be about the people, but the church makes the people about the church. They're not serving and loving the people at all.
Hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
for the most part, I do agree with this.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people do. I don't think there's anybody who don't really agree. I think what happened is it's the platform you choose to say.
Well,
that.
Not only that, the statement itself is very polarizing because you got those.
The institution of church is whack. This is whack. This is whack. Like, yeah, like it's very polarizing. Like when you hear it, it's like, yo, my man, my God.
How the pastor used to say it, you got some people in here with their 50-pound Bible and their 40-pound cross stumping it all over the place, and then you see them the next day in the club.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Like, even as he said this, he did say also that he knows he's saying this while he does benefit from the church. Let's not forget Ty Tribbett is a gospel artist.
Right. So
you benefit from the same systems that you're saying is whack, though, too, right? But everybody benefits in something, right? Everybody benefits in something.
Making that statement just let you know that he was real about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could have been a total denial.
Right. How many companies have we ever worked for, and they could be the wackest companies ever because of shit that they do, but we still work with them because hell, we all got it. We got lives. We gotta pay bills. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. Now,
I loved Walmart for a good 5 years for that.
Right.
We got bills.
Right. So look. So I guess what. So we have to start looking at certain things, right? What is the institution of church?
You know what? We really don't have to spend much time on this because Pastor Schaefer used to say this to us all the time. He said the church is supposed to be a hospital for the sinners and not a hotel for the saints.
Mm.
That's a basically church? What he said.
Right.
That is exactly basically what he said. But he said right now, the church is the hotel instead of the hospital. And he basically mm-hmm. nailed it down.
Mm-hmm.
And some yeah. people are mad about it. You're mm-hmm. mad because you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing in your community.
Right. And if the church is the hospital and you got a lot of and you got people coming in who need to be there, but you're doing things and they're leaving, right?
Wait, we're not going to even talk about some of those churches that gatekeep people. Like when they see you coming and they clearly know you need to be there and they're like, oh, no, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Not you.
Right.
You ain't got on them red bottoms.
But I will say to juxtapose on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way he said it, even though I know there's a lot of people that will agree, the way he said it comes off as, wow, dog, like, because number one, it is the platform he chose to speak about it on. And the one thing that I said during my many conversations that I've had with a ton of people talking about Ty Tribbett is that Black people, and I can only speak for us because I can't speak for any other race. I can only speak for us. Black people sometimes, well, not even sometimes, all the time, we have this thing where we, as a people, will talk and say a lot of things in mixed company. And some things need to be in-house.
I'll give you that. I will definitely give you that one.
I remember a friend of mine telling me that they were working at a school and they heard an Italian kid say something to another Italian kid, but it was like, you know, like a Black person would call another Black person the N-word or something like that. And the teacher heard it and said, hey, we don't say that in front of mixed company. And a lot of times, Black people will discuss things in front of mixed company. The platform, right?
Right.
The Breakfast Club. That's mixed company. Sure, yeah. It's Black people, but it's mixed company. Because I don't know anything about their Christian walk or the faith that they have. You're basically, Ty Tribbett, you're basically on a secular music station with secular music, on a secular show, talking about something that mixed company.
Okay, so help me out. If you were Ty Tribbett, what platform would you use to say the same thing? And would you actually say it this way?
I think if I was Ty Tribbett, I would probably say the same thing that I said, but I would also like to be around people who can challenge me, who are the same as me as a believer and of Christ, who can chat, who can maybe either agree and talk about the things, or maybe disagree and say, this is what's going on with the church. This is what we can do. We ain't doing. But you're going to people who don't really know, or, you know, or what they're going to do is just sensationalize it. And so it becomes a thing where you will have people say, see?
Okay, so just for laughs and giggles, you're definitely addressing the Black Christian church, but are you also, are you going to exclude the White Christian church?
No, I'm going to talk about it all. All
right.
If I'm going to say the institution of church is whack and everything other after that was whack, I got to talk about it all.
Yeah.
Because let's just be real. There are a lot, and I'm not saying everyone, there's a lot of Christians who are white who think in the mindset that, you know, we're supposed to be created in the image of God, but Black people are inferior. Let's be real about this. So who's teaching that, right?
Right.
Who's teaching that? Who makes you feel that? When you got stuff like Christian nationalists and all this other stuff, like, you got like these weird evangelical, you know, people saying this and all this stuff that this is like not what God has been giving us or teaching us or having us to live by. Where are you getting that from? You're getting from somebody who is teaching it, right? Okay. So if your institution of the church is whack and you're not doing certain things and you're trying to teach in a way that you think is palatable for your congregation, then yes, your institution's whack. Again, all I'm saying is Black people got, at some point, we have got to stop talking about stuff in mixed company, especially mixed company that don't give a shit. Yeah. They're just trying to sensationalize this stuff. Because I guarantee you, here's the thing, man. People tend to forget. When the pandemic happened, right? Everybody started picking up a fucking mic and started doing podcasts. Ty Tribbett, you mean to tell me you couldn't go to a podcast like Jackie Hill Perry or somebody that you could have that kind of conversation with? You're a pastor. You mean to tell me you couldn't have another conversation on a pastor's podcast while talking about this? Like,
Start your own podcast.
Right. If I'm going to go on, that's like me going on I'm talking about pop culture and hip hop, and I'm going to talk about that on, I'm going on a death metal podcast.
Yeah, no. Unless they ask you the questions and they mess around and they set aside that topic for you, no.
All right. And now I'm talking about stuff in mixed company. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To me, it's like I'm probably more upset about that than what this nigga said. But also another thing too that we have to remember, right? Kareem told me that the church has many different names, right?
Hold on. We're not gonna shout Kareem.
No, for us. Shout out to Kareem. love you. Shout out to my bro. Kareem said that there are many names for the church, but I'll give you something that I don't think a lot of people really pick up on. When you get married, right? Because mm-hmm. I was married once, right?
Yep.
You know what I tell you? Mm-hmm. It's in the Bible. It's actually in the Bible.
What, getting married is in the Bible?
Yeah, but this part especially, they tell husbands to love your wife like God loved the church.
I think I remember hearing that.
Think about that. Husbands, love your wife just like God loves the church. So, back to Ty Tribbett. You're going on a mixed company platform talking about how your wife is whack. My girl whack. The way she cook is whack. The way she suck dick is whack. The way she do this is whack.
Wait.
I'm just saying sometimes wait, and people might not agree with me saying that. Sometimes you gotta go that far, because sometimes we can go that far when we're kind of almost being disrespectful to something. So if God is telling me as a husband I'm supposed to love my wife like God loves the church, if you are supposed to love like God loves the church, right? And somebody gets on there and says, this church is whack. The institution of this is whack. This is whack. How would you feel if somebody talked about your girl like that?
Yeah, that would definitely be a problem. But we said it already. He didn't lie. So it would be a problem only if I knew that wasn't true.
Okay, so I would say he may not have been lying, but you still talked about your girl in a very disrespectful way in front of mixed company.
Okay, yeah, now that's wrong. Yeah, I'll give you that one. That one's wrong. People get beat down for that.
Now, I ain't gonna mention that. But I know about a person that was very special in your life. Very special woman that still in your life, different, in a different way. But she's very special to you. If I went publicly on a platform or something, and not even to you, to say, hey, man, I don't know about her, blah, blah, blah. If I just went somewhere and I spoke about her very disrespectfully in front of people that don't even know who they are, how would that make you feel?
I know where you live.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I will be knocking on your door.
That's what I'm saying. And I think, yes, Ty Tribbett, what you said was true. But there's a way to address it. That was not one of the places. And it came off very disrespectful. Okay. And then to say, I say all this even though I benefit from it. So I'm going to tell the world that don't really care about how I love my wife. I'm going to tell that my wife is trash, but hey, she still gives me whatever, so I'm cool with it. I benefit from having a wife who can still do this. You know what I'm saying? That mm-hmm. seems very disrespectful. And I feel like, and people do have the right to feel upset about that.
They do.
Now, if you sat on a different platform with your peers, and talk about this, then I think somebody could have, so it could have been some people agree, some people didn't agree, but you have people who actually care about what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to the church, and they can either challenge you on it through the conversation, through scripture, through teaching, all of this stuff, right?
And they'll probably be less likely to want to put you in the hospital in the process. So, yeah.
Right. Because, again, speaking like... Of, mm-hmm.
Cam Newton.
Yeah. We got to talk about this, man. We definitely do. And I know, you know, it took us a while to actually, like, talk about this. But, so, explain the whole Cam Newton thing, man.
Okay, so from what I understand, he got into an altercation with a bunch of coaches that, you know, belong to his organization.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the altercation was filmed, and it was in front of a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy Rick Ross, you know, decided to make light of it and mention the fact that Cam's hat did not come off his head the entire time the altercation took place.
Right.
Which I saw that and I was like, damn, you're right. Damn.
Right.
So many people were speculating that there were bobby pins inside the hat and all that other stuff. And
mm-hmm.
of course he said, no, he's got a custom hat. It's fitted to his head. It fits like a glove. But
mm-hmm.
enough of that. Back to the altercation.
Right.
He first up, Cam owned up to it. There was mm-hmm. no blame nowhere. He owned up to it, and he said he definitely could have handled that differently. And he was glad that it didn't escalate into something worse.
Right.
For any party involved.
Mm-hmm. No, that's definitely a good thing. And so, but also, I want to say, what did them niggas think was going to happen? Did you think you was going to get the best of Cam Newton?
Well, first up, I'm kind of, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I was like, man, they are, don't nobody fight one-on-one anymore. Everybody, it's, they don't fight, but to say they don't believe in fighting fair. They believe in overwhelming force now.
Mm-hmm. And even with the overwhelming force they gave him, he was still handling them niggas. Like,
right. You got to remember who you're walking up on. That's a former NFL MVP. Ain't no right. real dude.
Right. I thought the situation was fucked up. I thought it was sad because there are kids there.
Yeah.
This is
and honestly, even if it wasn't kids there, you know, you got brothers fighting each other. I mean, I know it happens all the time, every day, but still, it's sad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And here's the thing, too. This is really why I want to talk about this. Because I was always hearing like people like Shannon Sharp and other sports people talking about it, what they would do, what they would not do, how would they handle this? Would they just be like, I'm shutting this down, I ain't never coming back? We can say whether Cam was right or wrong in the situation. I'm glad that Cam Newton stepped up to the plate. And said, not that I didn't think that he wasn't. I'm glad that he did what he did. He said what he said. It could have gone real bad, really bad. It was bad, but it could have got a hell of a lot worse.
Right.
Well, I started thinking, right, because I heard this other story, right, around why this was happening. So this rapper named French Montana was talking about buying his block, kind of like what Mike Epps is doing mm-hmm. in Indiana. And while he was thinking about buying his block, something happened. Well, not even something, but rapper Nipsey Hussle, who was doing the same thing, putting businesses and all this other stuff in Crenshaw, got killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shot in the head and got killed. French Montana said after he saw that, he changed his mind on buying the block. And so then this Cam Newton stuff happened, and then I'm hearing the sports pundits saying, that would be it. I would shut it down. Ain't no more blah, blah, blah. So then my question became, How do you help the given when the given act like they don't want to be helped?
Okay.
So I guess, do we just automatically shut shit down, or do we continue to fight for the kids who actually want these things? And I think what we tend to do so much is just say, fuck it, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I'm going to go with, keep it open, because it wasn't about the coaches to begin with. You know, you can always replace these coaches, but these kids, you got to stick with the reason that you're there for.
Right. And I'm not excusing a lot of the stuff that the kids do either. Because there's some kids out there, because this ain't the first time some of the coaches or even some of the kids have said some wild and disrespectful shit to Cam Newton. Like, hey, this dude gave you an opportunity to come to a camp to work on your skills. This is a former NFL MVP who took a team that barely had anybody on that motherfucker to a Super Bowl. You might want to listen to this nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so the problem that I have with these things is that I think some of the kids are not showing respect, but I feel like that comes from their parents. And then on top of that, we have everybody, when stuff like this happen, then everybody just wants to shut the shit down and quit. So then, again, I ask the question, how do you help the given when the given don't want to be helped?
Well, since you said it's not all of them, you help the ones that want to be there.
Exactly. Help the ones that want it. If the other ones act like they don't want it, then guess what? You can go to another camp.
That's like that old saying, you can lead them to the water, but you can't make them drink.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You can go to another camp. Cam Newton ain't the only person that probably got a camp like that. Go to another camp.
Or, here's the flip side to that. If he is the only camp in the area, and you acting out like this, and you disrespectful and all that other stuff, then you really didn't want to be there. And you really don't want to do what you want to do. You really don't want to, hone in on your craft or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to go by the wayside.
Right. That's like you remember when Shannon Sharp got into that argument with Ja Morant's daddy?
I heard something about that.
Like, come on. John Morant, daddy, what you gonna do with Shannon Sharp?
Shannon Sharp ain't a little dude,
right? And top of that, that's why I'm looking at these quote unquote coaches. Like, what the fuck y'all thought I was gonna do to Cam Newton? But also, if everybody talking shit, because that's what it seemed like it was. Y'all talking,
yeah.
Cam talking shit. Okay, it's shit talking. Why are you leading shit talking to this?
Right, because you knew it was part of the game.
Did he run up to you and say, keep talking shit, I'm going to slap the shit out you, or I'm going to knock your fucking face off? Did he say any of that? And if he did say that, it's probably in the heat of the moment. He probably wasn't going to do it. It's Cam Newton. What the fuck he thinking about doing? You know, everybody talks shit. It's competitive. You're doing all this stuff. You're being competitive. That's fine. Shit talking is fine. That's a part of it. It should not
I always have this saying in my head. And it's like, nobody wakes up to do malicious things to you.
Right.
If they got that in their head, then yeah, something happens somewhere.
Mm-hmm. It was. We can all sit here, and honestly, like we had that. It was dumb for that shit to happen like that. But also, don't listen to these motherfuckers that's saying, I would just shut it down. I just quit. And you know, I ain't coming back. Okay, then don't come back and let somebody else do it.
All right, now look, I'm about to say something. Mm-hmm. And some of y'all may hate me for it. But those people that are saying they would shut it down and walk away, those are the same people that wouldn't even do it in our neighborhood. They'd do it in another neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And see, this is you remember the Jackie Robinson Little League team? Mm-hmm. They got stuff because and let's be real, a lot of them motherfuckers don't put shit into the neighborhoods where these kids come from. So they have to travel elsewhere to get this shit done. And because they have to travel and because they got to follow these rules, that's why this shit got taken away from them, because all of them are not in the same district. And that's another conversation I want to have one day about this bullshit. It ain't in, if it, you got to be in this district and all this other shit. Cause look, if I can take my kid from 95th and Bishop and take them to some schools so they can actually like benefit from learning, if that's fine to do, then it should be fine for me to put this motherfucker in a recreational thing if it's not anything around the neighborhood. But that's another conversation. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is because let's be real about this. It's not in the neighborhoods these kids come from. So they got to travel. And kids, if you're going to travel to another part to be a part of these things, face some fucking attitudes and listen to these grown-ass adults who are willing to give their time to help you.
Wait, let's not forget their knowledge, because that's what you're really there for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I don't like it from all fronts. I don't like it at all fronts, but I honestly feel like you should not stop, because you do actually have people. And I get it. Sometimes it seems like it's more people that want to fuck shit up that don't want to fuck shit up.
That's why they drink Hennessy. That's why they smoke menthols. They like to ruin shit.
Mm-hmm. They like doing hood rat shit with their friends. I get it. But it's like... Right. But hey, it's like, come on, man. We got people out here really giving up their time. Please stop fucking this up. Because you're going to run into more people who are going to be like, man, I ain't going to do this no more, man. Fuck it. And they will not do it again. You remember the baseball teams that used to actually be in our neighborhood? They're gone. Mm-hmm. They're fucking gone. Okay. And then they're somewhere else. Because they don't want to have to deal with us. So now they're putting it someplace else. And we can't be involved in it because we don't live in that district. That's going to happen. They're going to say, I'm not doing this here no more. I'm going to take it somewhere else. And if you ain't belonging on this side while I'm doing it at, you can't come. That's mm-hmm. what's going to happen, dog. That's what's going to happen. Have we not seen this play before? Have we not seen this play before?
I believe we have.
So if we've seen this play happen, why are we continue to run the same plays?
Because we like Risa Tisa, and we're just ignoring these red flags all over the place.
Stop ignoring the red flags, y'all.
Just saying. Oh, boy. I'm just glad he owned up to it and didn't sugarcoat it. Because he could have played it just like some of those guys on TV, like a Stephen A. or a Shannon Sharp. He could have played himself like that, but no, he chose to own it up, own up to it. So I'm glad he did that.
Like I said, the red flags are there for a reason. The red lights is there for a reason.
Look, I'm just glad that he owned up to it and didn't sugarcoat it and try to tap dance around it like if he was on television or in a league.
Right. No, and that's, and I'm glad he did too. And now for them other coaches, you know, they, you know, to me, it just like I saw a little stuff here and there, but to me, it just felt like them motherfuckers was just like trying to just blame the whole shit on Cam. And they just reacted because Cam said this. Look, dog, y'all was talking. Clearly, y'all was talking shit. Fess up to what y'all fucking did. Not even fess up. Just say, hey, man, we shouldn't have did that. We shouldn't have gotten that. We should have never done that. That should have never happened. Yeah, we was talking shit, but it should not have happened that way. Don't put all of that shit on Cam. Y'all were going back and forth. Y'all the ones that put y'all hands or tried to put y'all hands on Cam. And without hitting y'all or you know, throwing you across a, you know, the yard or whatever. Right. I mean, he still handled y'all, but right. It could have been a hell of a lot worse.
You know what? I think about this situation and I get to thinking about people we know. And I was like, had that have been us in that situation, it would have never got that far unless we was talking to a certain individual that said, pull up.
Right.
He would have been the only one on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. That's definitely true, man. And, you know, luckily, ain't no, you know, I don't buy into situations like that. Because that could lead to something.
Yeah,
and on top of that,
you're not paying for coffee, so hell no, I ain't pulling up.
Right. And on top of that, if you really want something to happen like that, then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to just like pray for you that you seek the help that you need to get. Because if I or somebody else that you tell that to really does. And you think you're going to get the best? Because, see, people like that going to say shit like that because they feel like they're going to get the better. You don't know what that other person got or how many motherfuckers that motherfucker going to bring. You walk out the house by yourself, it might be the Wu-Tang Clan out in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So if that's the route you're going, hey, dog, look, God bless, man. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to get the help that you need. I want you to, you know what I'm saying? I want you to stop taking shit so seriously. And, I pray for you. I pray for your soul. I want you to be better in life. And that's it.
if you claim you go to church and you believe, then I'm going to need you to be better than that.
Right.
How about that? I definitely need you to be better than that if you claim in a set.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, but yo man, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Dope Sessions Podcast. Yo Tree man, you got some shout outs,
man? Look, I got a laundry list of people I want to it's not that long. Look, I want to shout out you know, the usual, the friends, the families, the sisters podcast. Special shout out to my friend Sharika. I hope you know, listen to this and give me some feedback. Let's see. Shout out to Kid Mental. See, I remember the time.
Right.
Shout out to Kid Mental for the theme music.
Yeah.
Shout out to me for the album graphics, sucker.
Hell yeah. Yes, sir.
And word on the street is it's supposed to be a new one. I currently like this one, but you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, I love it too, man. I just want to, you know, just have some variety, switch it up sometimes. Well,
we're gonna be like the White Sox. We're gonna have a City Connect jersey. Who else am I shouting out? Much love to moms. Let's see. I'm gonna shout out my sisters, all of them. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my brothers too as well.
Right.
And also shout out to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And special mention to that group that I play with on the game every night. I'm calling them the Pause Patrol right now, because that's who they are.
Right.
Not Paw Patrol, Pause Patrol.
Right. The Pause Patrol, yeah.
Right, because if you say the wrong thing, best believe it's going to be a pause in there.
Right.
And practically everything is that. Them fools. Oh, my God. Shout out to Kales. Right. Shout out to Kales.
Yes, sir.
Much love to my grandparents and much love to your parents. I miss them dearly.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I think that's about it.
All right, man. Yeah, man. Shout out to my family. Shout out to friends. You know, thank God for giving us another opportunity, man, to just like be able to do this, be able to talk and give our opinions and stuff like that, man. Thank y'all to the fans for vibing with us, and thank y'all for listening to us.
Fans. Yes.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Kid Mental for the dope ass theme music. Man, you know, shout out to our brothers and sisters out here in the podcast land. Man, keep doing y'all thing. Keep fighting, you know, keep building. I know, especially for podcasts out there that's independent, it just seems like a constant, like, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, but keep doing it.
I got to add one to the counter. Shout out to D-Nick.
Right. Right. Shout out to D-Nick. Shout out to the Microphone Misfits. Man, we love y'all. Thank y'all again for listening to the Dope Session Podcast with Kelvin and Tree. Also, thank y'all for listening to the Late Sessions as well.
Yes. They keep kidnapping me.
Right. We're gonna have more Late Sessions episodes. Thank y'all for rocking with the Late Sessions, man.
If I see that van coming around the corner one more time, we're calling the police.
But yo, man, we out of here, y'all. We love y'all. Peace.
Peace.